Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6, and verses 17 and 18. Paul's second epistle of the Corinthians, chapter 6, and verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6, and verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The dear Lord Jesus, in commissioning the Apostle Paul to minister in the holy things of God, so often used him with clear words of direction to the churches. And here we have not only a clear word of direction to those in Corinth, but to them individually. And it is a word, you know, that we each need to examine our own hearts, what we know of it. There were many things that those in Corinth had been left to fall into, even in the church, in idolatry and sin and wandering from the Lord and backsliding. And really we've no stones to cast at them, because if we know our own heart, we shall know we are prone to the same. You see, in the city of Corinth there was so much sin and wickedness, and there was so much they were to be brought out from. And he says here in the word prior to their text, he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He used these solemn contrasts. And you see, it is a word we need to lay to heart continually. And he says, wherefore come out from among them. There was so much, you see, that they got to come out from. And I want to look a little at this in a few ways. And he says, and be ye separate. You know, when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He separated them from everything of Egypt. Oh, he did. You know, when you look back in many of our godly forefathers, the Lord so worked in their hearts there was clear separation. We live in a day, and this is really what led me to this word, where many think they can hold the world in one hand and God in the other. And these two by no means can agree, you see. And the apostle was brought to the place himself where there was much that he had to come out from and to be separated from. If you look in him, how he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, he knew the word of God like the back of his hand in the letter of it, and yet the Lord was to bring him out of it all and bring him to truly serve the Lord and to seek him with an honest heart. As we read here, you see those in the church at Corinth that the Lord had brought out from the city of Corinth that was full of lasciviousness and sin. And as he brought them out, he made them, as we read prior to our text, the temple of the living God. And is that so with us? Does it exercise us that we might be like them? For we read, as God hath said, I would dwell in them. And you know, it's so sacred about this. If the Lord's dwelling in us, he has separated us from everything of the natural religion. If he's dwelling in us, he will take possession of our heart. I was thinking of the birth of Christ the other day, and I often think of it. You know, when he was born, there was no room for him in the inn, was there? And Mr. Hart took it up beautifully when he said about the crowded sinner's heart had room, but none for him. And you know, if the Lord is dwelling in us, everything else must go. It all must be removed. And this is why the apostle made it so clear to those in the church at Corinth, and remember it was written to them, it wasn't just written to the city. Wherefore, he says, come out from among them. Why? Because he could not walk with them. And you know, if the Lord's dwelling in us, we won't be able to walk with the world, will we? We have to come out of it all. And the Lord brought the apostle out of all the natural religion he was in and all the carnality to serve the Lord with singleness of heart and of mind. So the message was clear. Wherefore, seeing this, the Lord dwelling in you, he says, I dwell in them and walk in them. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord walks up and down in the sinner's heart, isn't it? Such is his sweet presence with them. This will separate the child of God from everything of sin, everything of this world, everything of carnal, natural religion, and all they want to be a precious Jesus. I love those words of the hymn writer, and we often pray it that many may be brought to the point where they have to say, give me Christ, or else I die. You see, that life that was in them here, as temples of the living God, the life that was in them was Christ formed in them, the hope of glory. Their life flowed from him. He is their life. The apostle said, didn't he, for me to live is Christ. He'd nothing else to live for, had he? What about you and what about me? You know, the day's coming, and it's such me much of late, when we shall all have to be separated from everything of this earth. You could go to the richest man in England or the richest man in the world. You know, all his riches will never get him to heaven. The day will come when the hour of death comes, when they will have to be separated from it all. And because the Lord loves his dear children, he will, all the way through their spiritual life, from once he's called them by grace, is a path of separation. Oh, it is. And there were many things, you know, of late I thought of many things, you know, we've had to be separated from. The flesh doesn't like it, does it? Oh no. It clings hold, it's so much of the earth, and it clings hold of the things of the earth, and clings hold of the things of time. But this real separation. And we see solemnly in some of our chapels that used to be sound causes of truth. And now the world has been led in. The man has preeminence, whereas the Lord should have the preeminence. And you see that they don't want the separation, and they don't want a ministry that separates. You see, it's so vital. A living ministry will separate the sinner from this world. He does separate that which is flesh from that which is spirit. You look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus, how searching and separating it was. The ministry of the dear Apostle Paul that wrote these words, how searching it was. We sang in our opening hymn, and I thought it was very confirming, really. Search me, O God. How we need that searching, don't we? That separating. Lest we should settle down on a false foundation and upon our leaves. So he says here, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. And it doesn't just say that, saith the Lord. It wasn't what the apostle was saying to them. It was what the Lord was saying to them. Saith the Lord. You know, I often feel throughout God's word that so many times we find those gracious exhortations and sweet promises which the Lord gives to his dear people, and he endorses it with this, saith the Lord, or saith the Lord God Almighty, or saith the Lord of hosts. There's the authority, you see. And there is where it comes from. And so, as the apostle said this to those in Corinth, and it was needful for them. And I felt when this text dropped in, how needful it is in my own heart. You know, the Lord looks at the heart, as we sung of, doesn't he? And he sees how much we need separating from. Worldly company. Natural professors of religion. We need separating. Like the children of Israel, I indicated earlier about when they were brought out of Egypt, what we find concerning them, what Moses said, so shall ye be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And you see, the apostle had to be separated from all the Pharisaic pride that he'd been left into in his unregenerate days. And he had to be separated from all the Pharisees. They thought they were righteous. And all the way through the Gospels we find them, don't we? Exhorting themselves. But oh, how the Lord separates his people from them. Making them feel their nothingness. They're only poor worms of the earth. They need the dear Redeemer every hour, every moment. And so this separation. Wherefore he says, come out from among them. But then we need separating from sin, don't we? All we do. Sin is mixed with all we do. And as the dear apostle speaks this to the church in Corinth, he solemnly realised that they couldn't separate themselves from it. But the Lord would separate them from it. I love that couplet of the hymn in that beautiful hymn. We sung it at our wedding. Love divine, all loves examined. And that, you know, in it we read this. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. And you know, when the Lord is in our poor hearts, dwelling there, it'll make the sinner plead like that. Lord, take away all the love of sin. Alpha and Omega be. That is, Christ must be first and Christ be last and Christ be all in all. So he says, wherefore come out from among them. And you know, we need this that we might not dwell and abide with those that we cannot walk with. There must be this clear separation. And you know, when you read back through some of the experiences of some of the old saints that used to abide in this sanctuary, how the Lord separated them from the Church of England, brought them out of it because of many of the errors and doctrines that were creeping in. And he brought them under the sound of a living ministry. You think of old Mr. Cowper and Mr. Drake and William Vine, and so we may go on, you know. Their ministry was life and power to those dear souls because the Lord had separated them from all the natural profession they had. And then in many other denominations, they were brought out of it. They had to separate from it. And what will separate us from it? And what separated them? The grace of God. Where grace is, working in the sinner's heart, there'll be clear separation. And then it may be, even with some of God's people, you cannot walk with them because they want this or want that or something else. And there may be many times one has had to personally stand and stand separate from them in things. And it costs as much. Oh, it does. And then we need separating from the powers of Satan, don't we? Oh, you think of his great power. Well, if nothing denied, I preach this to myself, wherefore come out from among them? It's a clear word of direction. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You know, many unclean things, aren't there? And we need to be separated and touch them not. You know, it may be like a young person and they think, well, perhaps this will be allowed or that will be allowed. And if the Lord shows you it's an unclean thing, he'll separate you from it. If the grace of God's in you, his love toward you. You see, this separation which the Lord so speaks of through the apostle here of, is because the Lord loves his dear children. That's why he separates them, so he can bless them, favour them, grant them tokens of his love, blot out all their sin. And there's a separation, you see, because he's dwelling in them. And oh, may the Lord favour you. It seems such a beautiful word to me. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. What a favour. You think of it tonight. Oh, may the Lord speak this to you. And if it's so, poor soul, in an evidence of it being so, will be that we are separated. If the Lord's dwelling in you, can two walk together except they be agreed? And he brings this separation, you see. So all you want to be is with the Lord, walking in you, dwelling in you, and all you want to do is what he commands you. Be ye as obedient children. And there are times, of course, it may be in employment, when the Lord will say to his dear children, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing. And then the Lord can speak it even in a matter of even providence. And then there are times where he would do it with in a church, if a person does not feel again a home with them. He separates and brings them among his people. Well, you think of it in the case of dear Ruth. How the Lord separated her from all her natural inhabitants and people of Moab. And the Lord separated her, and he used severe means to do it. You see, the Lord's a sovereign. It may be he will separate them like he did the Apostle Paul and with dear Ruth, by solemn searching means. But sometimes it's a gradual drawing away. And the Lord doing it, you see. It's like the work of grace. Sometimes it's a short and a powerful work, like it was with the Apostle Paul. With others, the hymn writer said, others again more smoothly go. And they're gradually drawn away from it by the Lord. I remember a dear old lady saying to me many years ago now, she said, you know, I look back in my early days, and she said, how the Lord drew me away from the things of this world, step by step. And she said, he drew me to him. Some of you may have read and I have named it before, the case of that dear little gypsy girl. Her parents lived an upright life, as some of those old gypsies did, but you know, this little girl used to see different ones going into one of the chapels in this country. And she watched them, and she thought, well, I would like to go with them. And she did. And she got drawn to the dear people of God. And her parents wanted to do this and do that and something else, and especially on the Lord's Day. And now she must go to the house of God. And they got so annoyed with her, because she was so intent in going, They did all they could to stop her. And one Sunday they told her, if you go to that house of worship again, we will turn you out of our home. So she was faced with a mountain, really. Did she obey the Lord, or did she obey what her parents said? Now, be very careful here, because it's right we should obey our parents. But in this vital matter, you see, it was so vital to her soul, she felt, well, I must obey what the Lord's commanded me. And she went to go, you know, and they threatened she would never be allowed back. And the Lord spoke to her, when thy father and thy mother forsake thee, then the Lord will take thee up. When thy father and thy mother forsake thee, and that's hard, you know, then the Lord will take thee up. And you know, the Lord so blessed her. And she went back and her parents were like lambs. You know, as she went home, the Lord had worked in them in a moment and brought them to the place where they had to go as well. And he drew them away from all the, and separated them. And the Lord can do it today, you know. Such is the power of the Lord. We read that word, don't we? And a little child shall lead them. And the Lord used it in the case of that little lass. Oh, he did. Wherefore come out from among them. He made her willing even to come out from her parents and leave all. You think of the dear disciples when he called them from their fishing boats, and Matthew from the receipt of custom, he said to them, follow me. And that word was a word to come out from among them and be ye separate. And the Lord, what did he do? He brought them to the point where they had to leave all and follow him. Now, I don't know why this is words being on my spirit, but I cannot get away from it. I toss with it all day and said, Lord, however can I take it? But you know, we have to preach it to ourselves, he said, and touch not the unclean thing. Why? Because that's grieving to the Lord. And it'll bring the soul into bondage. And it'll cause them much distress, you see. The unclean thing. Any unclean thing. And we find with the children of Israel, there were many unclean things they tried to touch, like the golden calf they made and so on. Where did it bring them? Into much distress and trouble. Oh, it did. Because they weren't obeying the Lord and what he commanded them. But I must hasten. And he goes on to say, and I will receive you. Not because of what they had done in leaving everything, but because of his wondrous work in them. He received them as repenting sinners. He received them as humble, tender walkers before him. He received them because his love was toward them. You may say in your heart, oh, but if I leave this and leave that, what will those around me think? But what a mercy it is if the Lord says, well, I will receive you. Like he did that little gypsy girl, I will receive you. And he does receive sinners. What do we read? But this man receiveth sinners. Oh, he does. And he receives sinners to die. How black and vile they may be. I will receive you. This is what the Lord has said. Satan may say to one soul that may be exercised concerning following the Lord and casting their lot with the church, oh, but the church won't receive him. I remember my dear late grandfather, who's 82, and he came before the church, you know, and I shall never forget, he said, He said, you know, I've told you what the Lord has done and how he's brought me from nature's darkness into his marvellous light and how he's blessed my soul. He said, you know, the Lord's received me. He said, but I shan't be offended if you as a church don't receive me. You know, well, they couldn't do anything else, only receive the dear man. Because the Lord had received him. And he took, put away all his sin and washed him in his precious blood. And so he will do it for sinners today. And then just briefly. And then he promises them this. And what a word it is, isn't it? Many sermons could be preached on it. And will be a father unto you. And what does a father do? He provides for his dear children. He cares for them. Looking at it naturally, and then look at it spiritually. He'll do everything he can for them. Oh, he will. A loving father, you know. And he will encourage them. We know from time to time he'll correct them. But whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And poor soul, he says here, and will be a father unto you. You may say, what, such a wretch as I, a father unto you, yes. And if you have a father in heaven, poor soul, what does he say? And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Look at their divine authority, saith the Lord Almighty. He that hath all power in heaven and in earth. These sons and daughters. Oh, what an honour for a soul to be among the sons and daughters of the Lord. And these sons and daughters, you know, will be in glory at last to crown him Lord of all. To bless his holy, precious name. They bless his name while here. But oh, what an honour to be one of the Lord's sons, his daughters. Ruth was one of them, you know. David was one of them, a poor sinner that he was, but one of God's dear sons. And oh, you can name many others, couldn't you? Hannah, you see. One of the Lord's daughters. Dear Lydia. Samuel. Daniel. And so we may go on. They were the sons and daughters of the Lord. And the Lord will have his sons and daughters in the earth. Right to the end of time. And the day will come when they'll all be gathered home in glory. Received up into heaven. Oh, they will. Received into the arms of the Saviour. To lean upon his breast and to crown him Lord of all forever. What a prospect, isn't it? These sons and daughters. Well, I've scratched around the subject this evening, and may the Holy Spirit seal the text home to each of our hearts, and the glory belongs to the Lord. Amen.